Well, let's turn to 1 Peter. We've been looking at these verses for a few weeks, and we'll do so again this morning, and then, all being well, as I see things so far, we'll do so again next Sunday, Easter Sunday, and that'll be for the last time. So let's read then 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 3, and we'll continue to read as far as verse 9. So that's 1 Peter and chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 3. Now, most of you know that Peter is mimicking a psalm. So these verses begin with, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," just as many psalms begin in a very similar way. Paul does it in Ephesians 1, and here's Peter doing exactly the same. So verse 3 then, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, maybe, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold which perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he whom you have not seen, you love. And even though you don't see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We're going to focus in on one verse, and that's verse 4. Very well-known verse. It's a verse that we've looked at before. I know that David and Will have also drawn our attention to this verse over the weeks. Verse 4 then, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." So we're going to think about our inheritance. And we'll see that this inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled. It's an inheritance that does not fade away, and it's an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us. We need to think about the word inheritance and what it means. We fit that in to the theme we've had for a few weeks, the theme of incorruptible. And then we'll see at the end of verse 4 that you have these two words that occur throughout the chapter, and it's the two words, "for you." So this is personal. This is individual. What we are talking about here isn't some abstract theory. It's not some general idea. It's something that God has done for you. For you who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Peter does after verse 5 is he talks about that faith. And over the years, I've said to you, there are two subjects that I don't like speaking about. One is faith, Christians' faith, and the other is prayer. I find the subject of faith, as in our faith, our ongoing faith, full of problems. And one of them is here. You see it? There's a problem here that I'm uncomfortable with, that I'm going to say to you, I don't believe. And it's the idea of faith being tested, that certain things are a test of our faith. So if you look, you can see verse 6 and 7, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith is tested." Now, I'm uncomfortable. I don't believe that God tests our faith. Whatever Peter's saying here, I don't think it's that. And we need to see again, maybe. We need to talk again, maybe,
about what he means there. Well, I'm much more comfortable talking about the inheritance that we have here. So let's do that. Let's think about the incorruptible, and let's think about how this is personal. So your name is attached to what we are going to talk about this morning. And your job is to make it personal, to apply it to yourself, and to say to yourself, what Peter is telling us here, what Neil is attempting to preach on, is for me. And God has intended this for me from the very beginning, from eternity. And it will be fulfilled in me, without doubt, without question, without obstacle. You shall inherit that which is incorruptible and undefiled. So let's ask God to help us understand his word. Lord our God, we thank you then for the past few Sunday mornings. We've taken the word incorruptible, and we've seen that the word of God itself is incorruptible. We have seen that the cross of Christ and his blood is incorruptible. And now, our God, we are going to think about our inheritance and how our inheritance is incorruptible. Lord, we ask your help. We ask your blessing. Lord, we've mentioned very briefly and very poorly the idea of faith and whether you test our faith or not. Lord, we seem to see that verse as a reference to gold being tested. And our faith is greater than that. But Lord, we come to ask you to speak to us about our inheritance. What's in store for us? And Lord, as we look at that then, may your blessing rest upon it. May your spirit breathe this word into each mind and heart present here in the building or joined by Zoom. Lord, may you glorify your name as you show to us what's in store for each of us as your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you begin with the word inheritance and you follow that word throughout the New Testament and even go back into the Old Testament, the idea of inheritance is this idea that we are to inherit, if you like, God himself. God is that whom we shall inherit. We're not going to inherit gold or silver, or even maybe you could think of a glorified body or a new heavens and a new earth. Absolutely true. But the big idea here, the main idea, is that we inherit God himself. The God whom we believe in, the Jesus who we don't see, we are going to inherit him, our God, his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we are going to be with God, we are going to be like Christ, and we are going to be in his kingdom. So don't think of an inheritance as a thing. You think of inheritance as a person, and that person is God, the God who we can't see, the God who is glorious and eternal, the God who is infinite and unchangeable. He is our inheritance. And when you look at the word more specifically in Peter, you've got two ideas. Now, the first I've seen as a challenge all week, a challenge to explain it to you in a way that makes sense. Now, I'm not sure if I've arrived at that. I'll tell you what the first idea is, and it's up to you then to say to me whether I've explained it clearly enough. And what we need to avoid is we need to avoid thinking about ordinary inheritance. So, example, if our parents pass away and they are fortunate enough to leave us money or to leave us a house, We must not go too far in that direction, thinking that is what Peter is talking about you. We inherit the person of God, and two things are highlighted. The first is that this inheritance is not something that's passed down to us. So again, thinking of a parent or maybe a grandparent who passes down to you a favorite object, or they leave you some money in their will, it comes down to us. That's how we use the word ordinarily. What Peter is doing here, he's using the idea of not something being handed down, he's using the idea of us going up to. So you think of inheritance as a person, the person of God, the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and we go up to it. We go up into it. Very different then. That's the first idea. And then the second idea is one of death. Now, let's not talk too long about this. But in the ordinary course of events, you inherit when somebody dies. This inheritance isn't something we have when somebody dies, when the one who wants to leave us something dies. It's not the case that God will die and we'll then have something from God. What this second idea in this verse is this inheritance is something that we have after we die. So it doesn't come down to us following the death of the one who has loved us enough to leave us something. This inheritance is the person of God whom we go up to following our death. So the one who is to inherit, you and me, that inheritance becomes ours following our death. Now, that's the general idea. We've sung a hymn that says that the trumpet will sound and Christ will appear, and maybe we won't die then. We'll be changed. But nonetheless, the basic idea is we have to change through death or through the coming of Christ if we are to enter into this inheritance that is ours. Now, as I say, those two ideas may make sense to you or not. They're very important. They're very much part of what Peter is telling us. And if you can grasp them, that's great. If I've not made any sense, I'm sorry. If you want to ask God to show you, then please do so. But these are the ideas caught up in this word that Peter is telling us. So let me repeat them if I can. Our inheritance is the person of God. And I want you to imagine for a moment what it would be like to be in the presence of God, without any restrictions or barriers, without anything in the way. What would it be like to be in the presence of God? And that's what this inheritance is telling us. We will be in God's presence, the God who we still won't be able to see because he's spirit, eternal, unchangeable. This God who John tells us no one has seen at any time, we will be with God. And then imagine what it would be like for you to see the person of Jesus Christ, to see him, the one Peter's already told you that you haven't seen yet, someone you love, but you haven't seen him, to be in his presence, to see him, to see what he looks like, to see his face, to hear his voice, to see his body glorious and transformed, to hear him speak your name, to hear him welcome you into the glories of heaven, to reach out his hands to you and you'll see the marks of the cross where he went to die for our sins. Can you imagine what that is? And as you are in the presence of God, And as you see for yourself the glory and the wonder of the person of Jesus Christ for the very first time, you'll see the King of Kings, you'll see the Lord of Lords, you'll see the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ. And I guess you could say, couldn't you, that vision of a glorious Jesus Christ, you'll be so transfixed by it, you'll fail to notice that you too have a glorious body. Do you remember that body raised in power, changed from corruptible to incorruptible? That body that has no sin, no weakness, you'll be there raised and like Christ, sharing his image, but you won't notice maybe because of the wonder and the glory of seeing Jesus Christ. And then in a new heavens and a new earth, you may not notice the glories that surround you because that one person is capturing your attention. That one person is calling for you to worship and sing his praises. You'll be there then. You will, for you, is what Peter is telling you. Now that's the inheritance. And linked to the same word is the idea of a kingdom. So when you inherit the person of God, if I can use that phrase, and Christ himself, you will be in the kingdom of God. And one of the things we said recently, some of you may remember, we talked about this, I forget whether it was on a Wednesday, but when we talked about this recently, we mentioned the fact that God's kingdom is a kingdom of kings. God himself, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And then each Christian believer is a king. So it's a kingdom of kings. And when we talked about this, I mentioned that sometimes out here in the front, I feel under pressure to be correct, to be, you know, equal and mention things. So I talk about daughters and queens, but that's not biblical. The Bible talks about sons and kings. So we'll be a kingdom of kings. And that's why when you go on to read verse 4, that it's an inheritance that does not fade away. Part of the idea there is that every kingdom of this world will fade away. So you've had the great empires. We had a great empire, didn't we? The British Empire. You shouldn't be proud of it today. It's not acceptable to think good of it today. It's a faded away empire. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of Christ. That's what John tells us in Revelation. And so you'll start a kingdom that will not fade, that will not decay, that will continue for all eternity. The kingdom of God, made up of men and women, kings and priests, and to God, with God himself as our inheritance. So I hope that in some way then, as we think about this, it captures our hearts and provides us with some sense of what lays ahead for us. Because Peter has to balance two things, doesn't he? He has to balance the now. What is it like for us now? And then he points us forward to look at then. What's coming next? And so he says, now, maybe for a little while, we've been grieved with various trials. And Paul will tell you in Romans 8 that in the now, we don't look much like kings. We don't look much like sons and daughters of God. We are suffering this present time in this present age. And I guess the danger is that the now becomes something that we focus our attention on so much that we lose sight of what's ahead. Sometimes I'm tempted to write a book. I never do it. I hate sitting down and writing anything. But a book of 30-odd years of being a pastor. There's a well-known book called The Diary of a Nobody, written in the 30s of the last century. And you could almost imagine, can't you, a diary of a very ordinary pastor. What would he have learned? And one of the things I think I've learned is how all of us so often put so much attention on the now. And it's as if all we think about is now. And all we talk about is now. And our concerns are about the now. And we are troubled by the now, aren't we? We are discouraged by it. We have laid down with it. We are burdened by the now. And that's okay. But what also comes along is the then. What's next? What's going to happen to us? What will become of us as God's people? So you look at here, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, maybe you've been grieved by various trials. And so often, all our conversation is about the various trials. And I'm not saying this now to discourage anybody from talking about the various trials. We should talk about them. Let's share them with each other. We pray for each other, don't we? In our various trials. And that's how it should be. But I'm bringing this other perspective this morning from Peter. And he begins, doesn't he, with the future. And he starts this epistle by pointing you forward to what lies ahead. And it's only when he's laid out for you this clear idea of your inheritance that he then talks about what the now is like and how the now is. And that's the order, isn't it? Start with what's ahead of us, what the future holds, what this kingdom of God is like, how we'll have God himself as our inheritance. If we start with that which will never end, so we're talking about an eternity that we can't even begin to imagine. If we start with that, then we can to think about the now. So back to verse 4, Neil, we've got an inheritance. So all these ideas are caught up in the word inheritance. God himself, his son Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of kings, with the king of kings on the throne, that's the inheritance. So remember then, it's incorruptible. And I'm not going to put you to the test, everyone. We've defined incorruptible, we defined it 3 weeks ago, and we said that something that is incorruptible stands outside of time, unaffected by time, unchanged by time. Well, that's our kingdom. That's our inheritance. It stands there above our heads, unaffected, not dented, not spoiled by whatever may be going on here and around us. So you see it there. It's incorruptible and it's undefiled. And it's a kingdom, it's an inheritance that is reserved for us. So that means it's put to one side for us. It's there being kept and looked after by God himself. It's something that is waiting for us. It's something that is watched over by God himself. It is something that God is ensuring it, the safety of, so nothing can harm it in any way. This is the word that we have here, the word reserved. And you may notice, if you look at verse 5, and maybe we'll be on verse 5 next Sunday morning, it's linked to the word kept in verse 5. So our inheritance is kept, reserved, watched over, protected by God. And then we will be kept and watched over and protected by God in the same way. So it's an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, doesn't fade away. The word fade away there is linked to the idea of decaying or growing old or being corrupted, I guess, reserved in heaven for you. Now, can you see how often we get that phrase for you? So here it is in verse 4. And if you start at the bottom of the chapter and we work backwards, you get in verse 25 the idea of the Word of God. So the Word of God, which is incorruptible, that brings the good news of God, that is preached to you, for us. Do you see it there? This is the word which was of the which by the gospel was preached to you. So here's this personal note again. The Word of God is preached to you. So this is how I see that, as best I can. God, in his sovereign purposes, knows who will attend on a Sunday. So he knows who'll be here today, who'll be on Zoom today. And then, as best as we can possibly say, God brings his word to us personally here today. So what God wants you to hear today, he's brought you here to hear it. He's gathered you in this building, maybe, or wherever you are, from home, listening by Zoom. God wants you to hear today the good news that you have an inheritance, that God himself is waiting for you, and that you will be immersed and surrounded by God himself. And God himself will wipe away every tear. God himself will heal every hurt. God will bind up each broken heart. God himself will do that when you inherit God in his kingdom. He wants you to hear that. And every Sunday, he wants you to hear what message he has, because he's brought you to that place that you might hear it. So if you like, think of it like this. Over the past week, the Spirit of God, who lives in you, has been praying for you. You've not been able to tune into those prayers. Doesn't matter. The Spirit of God prays for you. And you're at home, you're in hospital, you're at work, you're driving your car, and the Spirit of God is praying for you, telling God about you, telling God how you are, what's going on for you, how you feel, what your struggles are. And the Spirit of God prays like that for you continuously. So that then when you come together on a Sunday, those prayers of the Holy Spirit for you are answered when God speaks to you through his word. And that word that he's brought you to hear is his response to you, to the praise of the Holy Spirit, to the praise of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for you, remembering his weaknesses, his struggles, remembering his experience in this world, Jesus praying for you. God then brings his word to you on a Sunday that you might hear it. And he puts you in that place that you might hear it. Now that's the gospel, the good news, which is for you. And then go back up the chapter and you'll see verse 20. And here's the incorruptible cross, the precious blood of Jesus. He was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So if you do think of this week as Holy Week, and maybe if you do read in the Gospels the account of this week, and then we are due to meet on Friday, aren't we? On Good Friday. And we'll think then, God willing, about the cross and Christ himself. Remember then that his journey to the cross was for you. There's this element again of the personal, the individual. Whilst Christ died for the world, and we think of that as the extent and the vastness and the greatness and the reach of the cross, individually, he died for you. He took your sins and he laid them upon himself and was punished in your place, so that which you are guilty of, that which you are responsible for, Christ has paid the price, and he did so for you. So never think of the cross as something much more removed, if you like. It has this personal, individual element to it. And then once more, go back up the verses and look at verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come, and here it is again, to you. So God is always concerned to give you his grace, so that whoever you are, and whatever your circumstance, whatever your trials, whatever your struggles, this overflowing and abundant grace of God is that which he wants you to know. So that message, today's message, God has brought that about in his providence for you to hear, so that in hearing it, you might have the grace you need at this present time. And whatever that time looks like for you, wherever you're hearing from today, and I'm particularly conscious of those on Zoom, wherever you're hearing from, the grace of God is that which God wants to bring to you, so that you can do all things, whatever's required of you. You're up to it. You're equal to it, because the grace of God is ministered to you through his word. So his word is for us. The cross is for us. His grace is for us. And then, of course, to end where we started, the inheritance is for us. This future is ours. This place in the kingdom of God is ours. It's ours as sure and as certain as God himself is. It can only be a failure to get to heaven if God himself fails. Our place, our inheritance, is as certain as God is certain. It's not down to me. It's not up to you. It's not left in our hands. It's as sure and certain as God himself. And so God, who cannot fail, who cannot change, who cannot decay, is the God we will inherit. We will be with in eternity. It will be forever with the Lord. And so maybe for me, maybe for you then, we might be able to say with Peter in verse 6, in this we greatly rejoice, even though now, if need be, there are these many trials. We haven't seen him yet, but we love him, and we rejoice, look at verse 8, with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This rejoicing then is that which will encourage us and strengthen us and carry us until we find that we are actually receiving the end of it all, the purpose of it all, the fulfillment of it all, which is the salvation of our souls. Well, let's pray, shall we?